Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Acts 4, 23 through 31. This is God's word. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What do you do when you have a problem? What do you do when there's suffering? Notice the first words. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Release? Yeah, they had been in prison. If you've ever been locked up in a jail, you would realize it is not a happy time. These guys, because they did what God told them to do, had been kept in jail overnight, put on trial the next day, and then all day told, "Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Don't do it again." And their response at the time had been to say, "Look, you'll have to decide whether it's better for us to obey God or you." Because Peter and John weren't wrestling with this, "Well, what should we do?" They knew what they had to do, and that is keep obeying God. You obey God regardless of the cost. It may cost your life. We have brothers and sisters around the world for whom this is not a theoretical thing. So, what did they do when they had a problem? And they had a problem. They had a problem. The authorities who had been responsible for taking Jesus and having him crucified, those were the same people now telling them, "You can no longer preach in Jesus' name." Here's what they did when they had a problem. Here's what we should do when suffering comes. First of all, they went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They shared it. They didn't just keep it all locked up inside. It is important for us to have one another. And when you're struggling, to be able to ask other people to share that burden with you. Why? Because when we pray together, God moves. They shared with one another, and then they prayed. Please see that. When they shared it, the response of the people wasn't, oh no, what'll we do? What'll we do? Who will we call? They knew who to call. They called on God. Look, they prayed. When they heard this, verse 24, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Apparently, it wasn't just one person who prayed here, although what we have in the text is that there were, this was the prayer that typified what they prayed, okay? Because I don't believe this is previously composed and they just recited it together. They raised their voices together in prayer to God, okay? There was unity even if they did it one at a time, okay? They prayed. It wasn't just the apostles prayed. The people prayed. Peter and John went back to their own people and reported. And when they, who? The people, heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Don't leave the prayer to professionals. Okay? Your prayer matters. God listens to you. But God especially listens to us. When we come together, unified in spirit, and cry out to God, God moves in extraordinary ways. Here's what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now, what if you want an outline of this prayer, I think a wonderful outline is this. They focused on God, not on the problem. Okay? They focused on God, not on the problem. And what did they say about God? You made, you said, and you decided. Sovereign Lord. And verse 24 looks at God's world. You made all this. Everything that exists, God, you made it. Everything. That's why the devil wants desperately to get people to not believe that God is the creator. And what you're left is the idiocy of thinking that everything just came into being by chance. Nonsense. The evidence of design is everywhere. And God has revealed that he is the one who created it. You made God's world. You said God's word. Their view of God was shaped by Scripture. It wasn't shaped by their imagination. It wasn't shaped by the latest best-selling book. Their view of God was shaped by the Scripture. You said, in verse 25, and then you decided. Amazingly, verse 28 doesn't say, and you know, in this out-of-control world, these wicked people did this terrible thing that we know was just really beyond your control. No, not at all. Look at what it says. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Notice, they plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, just like God said, just like his word declared, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. This makes it sound as if God sent his only begotten son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. Yeah. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something people did despite the will of God. God worked through the power of evil people in order to accomplish salvation for evil people. That's mind-blowing. I mean, if that doesn't stagger your brain, you're not thinking. Is God the author of evil? Never. But God's solution to the evil of man took the evil of man attacking the one that we've all always resisted and used it to bring about salvation. Amazing.
When I was growing up, I listened to Christian radio quite a bit. Several of the preachers that I heard made a great impact on my life. I am sorry to say that I didn't get to thank all of them. I did get to thank some. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Whether you want to thank me or not, at least let me know you're listening. Contact us by going to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the materials there. Let us hear from you. Let us know where you listen and when you listen. And if you think it's helpful, please tell us. And if you think it's not, go ahead and tell us that too. But we would really appreciate hearing from you so that we know where our new listeners are. We are delighted that we have the privilege of coming into your vehicle, your home, your computer, wherever you're listening. We want to hear from you. Please contact us today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, their view of God was built on the scripture. They focused on him, not on the problem. They mention the problem. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats. That's all they said about it, apparently, or at least that's the gist of it. They didn't go into great length. Do you ever find yourself trying to explain something to God when you pray? I do. I have to apologize. I'll be trying to fill God in on details, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, you already know all that, don't you? See, the purpose of prayer is not for us to manipulate God. The purpose of prayer is for us to come to him and get in line with his purposes. Because God is already working out his plan. He is, I may not have mentioned this, sovereign. He's in charge. Do you know what will happen if you refuse to get in line with God's plan? He's still going to work out his plan. Do you know what will happen if you get in line with God's plan? You get to be happy when it happens. You rejoice because you see that God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. You know who taught me that song when I was a teenager? A visiting speaker in our little town named Corrie ten Boom. Why would that hymn be so precious to Corrie? Because she had survived Nazi concentration camp. And if you're going to survive that with your faith stronger than ever, it's because you know that God is working his purpose out. So God is the author of all this evil? No. People are saying no to God. I'm going to do my own thing. And God is working his purpose out through it. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. So God likes everything that's going on? No, clearly not. He makes it abundantly clear that he hates a lot of the things that happen in this world. But you know what? It doesn't thwart him. From time to time, I do something as audacious as comparing Almighty God, who is perfect, to my wonderful but not perfect German Shepherd that I had when I was a teenager. The reason that I do that, and Lord, grant that no one would think that I think you are like a German Shepherd, but God in Scripture compares himself to a lion and a moth. Okay? So if he can do that, I think I can do this. I was walking my dog, my beautiful, big, magnificent German Shepherd named Wolf. I was walking my dog down the street, public street, and a dachshund came charging out of the yard where it lived. I think it spent most of its time in the house, but it came charging out into the street and jumped up and grabbed hold of my German Shepherd right behind the front leg, right like this. Just so this dog now has its front paws in the air. I'm not sure the back legs were really touching the ground, but it is clamped onto my dog with a very bite. What do you do in a situation like that? I'll tell you what my dog did. He reached around, took the dachshund in his mouth, shook it like that, and then tossed it over into the boxwood hedge. Now, my dog could have, with his jaw strength, divided that dachshund into three pieces just by going like that. But he didn't. He used sufficient strength to pull it off of him and to shake it and then released it in a direction that was back. I mean, those boxwoods belonged to the dog's owner. Okay? It's like back in your yard. I love that. But the dachshund didn't give up. My dog didn't even growl, okay? He just dispensed with the problem. The dachshund ran back and jumped up and bit my dog in the exact same place again. My dog turned, grabbed the dachshund, shook it again, threw it back in the hedge again, and continued to walk. The dachshund attacked a third time. I grabbed it and threw it into the hedge. But it bit me, and so I had to get my hand washed in that lady's home while she lectured me on the fact that people shouldn't have big, vicious dogs like mine. And I tried to educate her on what had happened. Now, why am I telling that story? Because at no time during this entire experience was my dog ruffled. He wasn't alarmed. Oh no, what'll I do? You know what Corrie ten Boom used to say over and over? There's never a panic in heaven. And that's a good thing to remember when we have a problem. When things seem to be out of control, God's not ruffled. But he does hate sin. Yes, he does. And he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Bible actually tells us, leave room for the wrath of God. Okay? Get out of the way. I got bitten by that dachshund because I didn't let my dog take care of it, and he was better at it than I was. Let God take care of your problem. If someone's being cruel to you, someone's being unfair to you, turn it over to the Lord. Does that mean I should never ask for help? No. I know how to call 911. But I call on the Lord because there are a lot of problems that 911 can't help with. And so whatever comes, I know I need to call on the Lord. Did God respond? Yes, he did. I'm glad you asked that question. Look at how the Lord answered prayer. They said, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." They didn't say, "Consider their threats and shut them up." They said, "Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." We just want you to empower us to keep doing what you've told us to do. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just for the elite. There's not a two-tier system. Well, there are Christians. Those are people who are forgiven and going to heaven. And then there are super Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. No. All of us are told to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, does that mean we should just continue to sit here and pray until the building starts to shake? Is that what you want? Is the thing that would excite you to have the building shake or to be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't focus on the signs and wonders. It's completely legit to pray for that. They prayed for that. Lord, we want you to do miraculous things through us. Please do that. And God did that. God did that. But the most important thing that evidences the fullness of God's Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. The Corinthians had all kinds of sign gifts. Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, you guys are not lacking any gifts. And that's a good thing. But then the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians, he's having to straighten out all kinds of problems because as he tells them, you're not spiritual people. You're just babes. You're fleshly. Fleshly people can manifest spiritual gifts? Oh, yeah. And what God is wanting in us is not flesh or flash. It's for us to be filled with him. And what does that look like when we walk in the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Without that, we're nothing. What does love look like? Well, it's patient, kind, it's not envious, not proud, it's not boastful, isn't rude, doesn't keep a record of wrongs suffered. That's what it looks like when God's people are walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Is that what would excite you? To see your own character transform? To find yourself more patient, more loving, more kind? That's what we should long for, because Jesus said, they're going to know that you're my followers because of your love. Love one another.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.